What if your food allergies, hay fever, and asthma are actually caused by liver congestion? What if by simple dietary changes and natural healing procedures, you could eliminate allergies and asthma? Do you want to stop sneezing forever?
This is the True Health Report, where critical appraisal fuels true freedom.
I'm Dr. Andy Kaufman, and this is the True Health Report. Today, I'm going to talk about an unlikely connection between fatty liver and atopy, which means allergies, asthma, and atopic dermatitis. And I'm going to focus on allergies and asthma today. And I first heard about the connection between the liver and allergies from Dr. Jennifer Daniels, whom I learned much information from. And this was very relevant for me because since I was a young boy, I had allergies to several different types of fruits. And what would happen is that I didn't go into anaphylactic shock, but I would get an itchy mouth and swelling in my throat, and even difficulty breathing and hoarseness. I went to an allergist and found out that this is called oral allergy syndrome, and was told that essentially there's really no cure. I could carry an EpiPen around, and I could get 2 to 3 years of allergy shots, and maybe or maybe not, it would get better. So for most of my childhood and adult life, I avoided several fruits like apples, pears, peaches, nectarines, and plums to avoid this problem, and especially cherries. Because one time in my 20s, I was given a bag of cherries from the farmer's market, and I really wolfed them down because they tasted so good. But I ended up with all those symptoms, and it was like really bad because I probably ate 1.5 pounds of those cherries in a very short time. And I was scared that my airway was going to completely close up and I would need to have a tracheotomy and be on a ventilator. So at that time, without knowledge of natural healing, I took about 150 milligrams of Benadryl, crossed my fingers and prayed, and it turned out okay. Thankfully. But fast forward years later, when I finally discovered natural healing and heard this from Dr. Jennifer Daniels, well, there came a time when I decided to try the Gerson protocol, which is essentially a mixture of coffee enemas and juicing. And it's a protocol that is used for a very serious disease that I can't mention here. However, after 2 weeks of doing this protocol, I decided to test my allergies and take a bite of an apple. And lo and behold, no allergy symptoms. The first time since I was a young baby or that I can ever remember being able to eat that kind of fruit. Now, I tried many other fruits that I had been allergic to since then and had no problem with any of them. So this really was amazing to me, and led me to a deeper dive into the rabbit hole. And I'm going to share some of that research with you today. Now, unfortunately, the medical scientific research community has not really investigated this connection the proper way. In other words, they haven't thought about, you know, could there either be a common cause between allergies and liver issues like fatty liver, or could the liver dysfunction actually cause the allergies? But we still have some very compelling research data that's, I might even say, is fascinating to examine together. So let's just start with a little bit of understanding of what we're talking about here, because we're talking about fatty liver, which is a type of liver problem that is of a lower severity than things you might have heard of, like hepatitis, liver cancer, cirrhosis, end-stage liver disease, liver failure, and things like that. So this is usually such that, at least according to mainstream medicine, people won't even have any noticeable symptoms related to this level of liver dysfunction. And the most reliable way to know that it's happening is by looking at imaging studies that can measure the amount of fat in the liver, and they call it a fatty liver. In other words, fat has infiltrated into the liver tissue, and this causes all sorts of problems with the function of the liver. Now, this has been traditionally associated with people who drink alcohol very heavily, but it's been recognized in recent decades that it occurs outside of people who drink, and they call it NAFLD, or non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. However, there are many other names for this condition, so it can be very, very confusing in the literature. So I'm going to just avoid using those and just use the simple terminology of fatty liver. Now, besides alcohol, since this occurs in people that don't have a heavy drinking background, what are the other causes? And I've highlighted this from a government website here to see what it lists as the other causes, because if you go to a doctor, they're not going to be able to tell you all these things. They'll generally say that fatty liver disease is either caused by alcohol or it is a part of metabolic syndrome, like people that have other metabolic issues like diabetes and cardiovascular disease. However, that's not necessarily the case, as we'll see here. So here you can see that it lists as other causes, one, malnutrition, in other words, not having the right type of nutrients to support the liver's needs. And then also it talks about toxins. Now it lists these pharmaceuticals as separate from toxins, but I would say that all of these represent different types of chemicals that are toxic to the liver. And it specifically mentions HIV, drugs, corticosteroids, estrogens, and chemotherapy. But there are many, many other drugs with a variety of liver toxicity, including drugs like anticonvulsants and other drugs used in psychiatric applications, as well as some antibiotics and other very commonly used prescription drugs. And then some toxins, which does not specify in this article, but this is key when we talk a little bit later about how we might be able to address this problem effectively. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, that apparently there is this phenomenon between transplanting the liver and the recipient of that transplanted liver acquiring a variety of allergy and asthma symptoms. Now, this has been mostly reported to occur in children, but here we have a case report of an adult, and there have been others. And I wanted to highlight this because in this particular situation, we see that the donor, and I'll read the highlighted portion, the donor was a 20-year-old female who presented with severe shortness of breath due to a presumed asthma attack. Now, that's quite interesting because asthma and food allergies are related, at least in some cases, according to the mainstream medical authorities. And I'll read further. Medical history was notable for atopy and allergies to peanuts, chocolate, eggs, wheat, and shellfish. So we have here that the donor, whose liver it was, who, you know, must have died and donated their liver to this recipient. They had food allergies. The recipient did not have food allergies, but after they received the transplanted liver, they developed food allergies. Isn't that quite interesting? So it's almost as if it came with the liver, like something in the liver is containing or causing those allergies. Now, you can find several other review articles and many other papers documenting this phenomenon. And here's one that is a review article, and it notes that it occurs more commonly in liver transplant recipients. Now, it has been reported to occur in other kinds of transplants. However, almost all the organs that are reported to be transplanted and lead to the development of allergies, and they, by the way, with the other organs, it occurs at a much lower frequency than with liver transplants. Almost all the other organs that it can occur in are directly in communication with the liver, such as the pancreas, for example. So it could be that there are liver cells that are associated with those other organs, and they might be there in smaller amounts, or that there's some specific relationship between these other digestive organs and the liver that would explain allergies a little bit more clearly. Now, here is another paper that gives some specific numbers, and I'll read the highlighted portion. Several reports have shown that transplant-acquired food allergies are more common after liver transplantation specifically. The frequency of food allergy post-liver transplant has been reported to range from 5.7 to 37%. So in other words, more than a third of pediatric transplant recipients develop food allergies after their liver transplant. And it emphasizes here that the liver is the most common organ where this occurs. Now, this is yet another study, but this one looks beyond just food allergies and looks at atopic disease in general, including allergic rhinitis, asthma, food allergies, and eczema, I believe. And we can see here that in this particular population, food allergy and atopic skin disease symptoms were present in 40 and 56% of liver transplant recipients. That is quite a lot, around half. And asthma, allergic rhinitis, or both were found in 66% of cases receiving a liver transplant. And these occurred approximately 12 to 27 months after receiving the transplant. And that was also found in the other cases. Now, of note, people that take transplant rejection medications for other purposes or other types of transplants do not develop these allergies. So this is something specific about the liver and not due to the immunosuppressive drugs. And interestingly, you would reason that the transplant rejection drugs, which suppress the immune system from attacking the transplanted organ, or so they say, would actually suppress allergy symptoms because they are said to be caused by the immune system. But that is the opposite of what occurs in this case and with the liver transplants. Now, I wanted to describe one other study which is not related to transplants. And there are similar studies looking at atopic dermatitis, but I could not find any on food allergies or allergic rhinitis. But I did find one on asthma, and it looks from this very large government curated database, the NHANES database, and it looks here over a 17-year period. And what this study does is it looks at, out of this huge database, finds people that have fatty liver disease and enough data to calculate what's called a fatty liver index score. And this is a semi-validated score that the higher the score, the more severe the fatty liver disease. And what it does is in these three graphs, the graph on the left looks at the overall population, and then the next two graphs separate out the men in the middle and the women on the end. And what you can see is on the x-axis is the fatty liver index score. So as you move to the right, the liver disease is more severe in each graph. And on the y-axis is the incidence or the odds ratio, actually, of asthma. So asthma risk. And we can see here that what happens is there is a baseline risk at the left side of the graph. And then as the severity of fatty liver goes up to the right, you can see that there is either a flat or a dip until it gets to the more severe fatty liver. And then you see the curve start to take off. And this is even more pronounced in women who don't even have the dip. They don't really have an elevated risk until their fatty liver gets to a more advanced state, whereas the men have a similar pattern, but they have a higher risk earlier on and at baseline. So I think really here, this shows a very interesting relationship between the liver being infiltrated with fat and losing function and with the development of asthma. From this information, we can definitely infer quite an interesting relationship between fatty liver and its associated dysfunction and various types of allergic and atopic syndromes like food allergies and asthma, as well as allergic rhinitis and atopic dermatitis. So is it possible then, because it hasn't been directly studied, so I can't say with certainty, but is it possible that it's actually the liver dysfunction that potentially causes these various types of allergic problems or atopic problems? And this certainly would fit with my own personal experience where I worked on my liver and was able to get rid of food allergies. And Dr. Jennifer Daniels reported similar results in some of her constituents as well. So this, at a minimum, merits a lot of further scientific investigation. However, there are some things that you can do to work on your liver if you suffer from allergies, including food allergies, hay fever, or asthma for sure, and possibly eczema, which is one to work on your nutrition. So this means eliminating foods like processed foods, especially processed carbs and sugars, as well as preservatives, emulsifying agents, and a number of other things, eliminating those from your diet. I'm also including artificial sweeteners and fortifying your diet with whole foods that provide the nutrients that your liver needs, such as B vitamins, sulfur-containing amino acids like cysteine and methionine, branched-chain amino acids, as well as some essential trace minerals like zinc, copper, and manganese. So if you can get those things in your diet, and of course, I forget to mention glycine, ever important amino acid, and find the foods that have those nutrients and focus on those while eliminating the causes. Now, you also want to eliminate your exposure to other types of liver toxins. And these could be many things, including, of course, heavy metals, but also a variety of different types of chemical solvents, degreasers, and industrial cleaners, things that you may have occupational exposure to, off-gassing chemicals from building materials and new furniture, as well as sources of microplastics like tea bags and plastic food packaging, especially when you put them in the microwave. So if you learn about liver toxins, and of course, I should not neglect to mention various pharmaceuticals, and reduce your or eliminate your exposure to those. And then there are two excellent supplements that can really augment your liver's detoxification function and natural healing. And those are milk thistle seed, as well as NAC, N-acetylcysteine. These two have very similar actions and effects on the liver. I prefer milk thistle being a natural product, whereas NAC may actually occur in some foods. We may make some in our body from certain amino acid substrates. But when it's sold in a pill, it's made in a chemical factory. That being said, there is a lot of research on the benefits of NAC, so I have nothing against it from that point of view. Now, of course, there are some much more potent and comprehensive natural procedures to address your liver's fatty infiltration and dysfunction, but I really can't discuss those on this platform because, as you know, that when I mention certain very powerful natural healing remedies, these videos often get censored and take it down, and then you'll get to miss out on all the other information. So if you want to find out what I can't talk about here, please click the link below or in the first pinned comment where you'll get access to my free ultimate detox protocol. And you will also get access to all of the other top secret, but very important and powerful natural healing information that I research and teach about on my own platforms on a regular basis. So today we've covered a very interesting topic, one that mainstream medicine really does not seem interested in pursuing properly. And even when I looked on YouTube and other information platforms like that, I could not find any specific material on the connection between your fatty liver issues and your allergies. But that's what I covered today. We reviewed how people who receive liver transplants, along with that, often receive food allergies, asthma, and allergic rhinitis. We saw the strong relationship between fatty liver disease and asthma. And then we talked about the causes of fatty liver and things that you can do to help correct the situation and say goodbye to those allergies and asthma forever. Well, I know I've enjoyed this time, and I hope this was a valuable learning experience for you, and I'll see you again on the next True Health Report. Even if you're doing your best to live clean, you're still being exposed. From off-gassing furniture and plastics in your food to synthetic fibers, personal care products, and even medical imaging procedures, especially fat-soluble chemicals. These toxins don't respond to your average detox. They settle deep in your tissues, and you need the right tools to clear them out. That's why I created the Ultimate Detox Protocol, a free 30-day roadmap that teaches you a serious nature-based detox using pine, targeted nutrition, and a focused daily plan. You'll choose the cleansing diet that fits your needs, support your elimination pathways, and take action against the toxin load that's been holding you back. Many people who've done this protocol have reported major improvements in energy, focus, digestion, and even long-standing symptoms they thought they'd have to live with forever. Unfortunately, I can't share the full scope of results people have experienced using this protocol, not on this platform. If I did, the video would surely be taken down. But trust me, it is incredibly powerful. Download it for free at the link in the show notes. Your health is your responsibility, and this is the best place to start. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next True Health Report.